This is Ozarks at Large. We expect certain parts of our lives to work like clockwork, set the trash and recycling out at night, and by the same time the next day, it's been hauled away. But from the curb to the landfill, a lot happens. Just ask Baridi Nokokeli, the director of the Fort Smith Department of Sanitation.
So I'm going to take you over here to the working face of the landfill.
Baridi loves giving behind-the-scenes tours of the Fort Smith Sanitary Landfill, as he did late last month in his SUV. The winds that afternoon had picked up as Isaac approached Arkansas, and the conditions were such that it was better to drive than walk. Such tours at the landfill are not uncommon. Last year, Baridi says, more than 2,000 people had a similar guided journey around the landfill's campus. Baridi, who has been the director of the department for the past 7 years, says he wants his guests to come away with a better idea of the science and engineering involved in trash.
Especially in the mode of environmental concern, because we want to ensure that they understand a lot of people put out their waste, their trash at the curb before they go to school and they go to work. And then they come back and they retrieve the empty container. No one really thinks about the in-between. Well, we like to show them the in-between. We like to show them the life that their trash takes, the journey that it takes in effect.
And a lot happens here. The publicly owned facility, the largest in the state, serves about 400,000 people in Fort Smith, Sebastian County, and the counties bordering Sebastian. The landfill is open 6 days a week, 314 days a year, and last year accepted 300,000 tons of solid waste. Much of that waste is taken to what Baridi calls the working face of the landfill, but not all of it. Household hazardous waste and white goods like refrigerators and air conditioners are taken for no extra charge and disposed of properly. The white goods are separated, and after licensed employees extract the CFCs in those units, the scrap metal is hauled away by companies, and the landfill receives a percentage of the sales. This isn't a dump where refuse is simply thrown away.
Instead of this area or this landfill being a dead end for waste, it's a point of transition where things can actually be recycled and returned and reused in the environment. Beneficial reuse.
Similarly, yard waste is turned around too. More than 7,200 tons of yard waste was brought to the landfill last year, and the resulting compost, about 1,400 yards, sold back to the public at $10 per yard. That's about 300 pounds per $10 bill. But the rest, the trash that does need to stay at the landfill, it meets the compactor. The blue vehicle with spiked wheels is the rock star of the landfill. Every piece of trash that can't be repurposed is taken to the working face of the campus and crushed below the compactor's medieval-like tires. The vehicle's sheer size, as Baridi describes it, is densifying the waste.
It is densifying it by going back and forth and is crushing out or smashing out all the voids and all the moisture. So all it's doing is densifying as much waste into the smallest area possible.
The process means about 2,000 pounds of trash can be compacted into an area of 3 cubic yards, thus drastically minimizing the rate of expansion of the landfill. At the end of every day, the trash brought in and smashed to the consistency of concrete must be, by law, covered with 6 inches of topsoil collected elsewhere in the landfill. Every day. Baridi uses an unexpected comparison to explain what happens here.
But if you could just imagine that a sanitary landfill is nothing more than an in-ground pool, what we do is we dig out an area and we dig it out below grade, and then we line that area just like you would a concrete pool or even an above-ground pool. And what a landfill does is, in effect, just as you would do if you were going to bury a loved one, a family member, we entomb it in somewhat like a casket where we line that large pit area, and we put membrane liners, composite liners. We have about 3 feet of clay, and we actually have a collection system for contaminated water, which we refer to as leachate.
There are regulations to how much standing water can be under all of the waste that's entombed at the landfill, no more than 6 inches. The water is drawn out at the Fort Smith Sanitary Landfill regularly to protect groundwater and aquifers below the surface. And something else is drawn out as well, methane gas.
This is our methane gas processing facility. Now, some of your listeners may know that methane gas and may be aware that methane gas, of course, is a byproduct of the decomposing waste. Well, in the past, we were taking that unprocessed gas and we were selling it to Max Steel and Owings Corning. Max Steel was using it to melt their steel as a fuel gas, and so was Owings Corning for some of their products.
But a few years ago, Baridi figured they could do even better and convinced a company called South Tex Treaters to build a high-grade processing facility on the Fort Smith landfill site.
We're processing our methane gas to pipeline-grade quality, and we're selling it to AOG, Arkansas Oklahoma Gas Company, and we're the only landfill to do that. So we're blending our methane gas in their pipeline. A lot of people may not be aware of this. It's a natural gas, and in fact, what we refer to as natural gas, 50% of natural gas is methane. So we're actually selling our methane gas to AOG, and people are always surprised to find that they're heating their homes and cooking their meals on gas derived in part from the Fort Smith landfill.
That pipeline-quality gas is produced at a rate nearing 3 million linear feet every 24 hours, that's sold at market rate, about $100,000 a month in gross sales. The landfill's take is 10% of that. Though the landfill is publicly owned, it's operated in a privately owned manner. Baridi says no property or sales tax money is directed to the landfill, and the operation is now self-sustaining. The mortgage paid off last year. It operates solely on the revenues and fees it collects. Baridi is quite proud of the innovations, but as he drives his SUV to an overlook, that's right, the landfill has an overlook on the tour so visitors can see the entire operation and the Poteau Mountains in the distance. As he goes to the overlook, he explains what happens here is permanent.
Now, one thing about landfills, although we are running the most efficient sanitary landfill in this state, and although I've been in this business now for 34 years, I will say this. Landfills, by their very nature, are abhorrent to nature. And although this is the most inexpensive, most efficient method for waste disposal, which is burial, and we have land in abundance in Arkansas being the natural state, anything that we actually landfill back with waste has no other use other than for waste disposal.
Baridi says the business model at the landfill is to protect resources, so he preaches the gospel of waste reduction and recycling to schools, civic groups, anybody who will listen. He says he's proud that though the landfill is the largest by land permitted in the state, it's third in the volume of waste, and he'd like to see that amount diminish each year.
Hold on, we're in a four-wheel drive, so we might as well have a little fun in our four-wheel drive.
Any really exciting tour includes something unexpected. And on the boundary of the landfill, terrain that was once part of Fort Chaffee, there's a piece of forgotten history that was unearthed when Chaffee officials began surveying for a walking trail.
And they had mentioned to us that there are site maps show that there is a bridge out here. Well, we didn't see a bridge. We didn't know that there was a bridge out here. So we came out to take a look, and I can see you're looking, and you don't see
it
yet.
No.
Well, this is the bridge. There it is.
How about that?
Yes. And that is a bridge from the WPA.
Built in 1941 and still in pristine condition, despite decades of exposure in the wooded area. Baridi says there's also a practice machine gun turret somewhere nearby that he also plans to uncover. But if you're looking for something unexpected at the landfill, you don't need a guided tour in an SUV. There's a park, complete with playground equipment and picnic tables, at the landfill's entrance.
This was a mosquito-infested swamp-like area. It had standing water that was foul-smelling. It was a catch-all for all the debris that was blowing off the trucks as they entered and exited the landfill. And I thought we could do something to demonstrate the efficiency of a landfill. And I thought that the way this area looked, it didn't help us in that regard.
For 2 years, the employees built the park out of recycled material. Old street lights provide the metal for the benches and the seesaws. The lumber and stone came from trees felled and rock quarried at the landfill in the normal course of business. The trees in the park are identified with their common and Latin names. The walking trail is a third of a mile. Spend an afternoon with Baridi and you'll understand that he loves his business, a business he never thought he'd make his life's work when he began as a sanitation worker in Houston to pay for college in the late 1970s.
And even though I had started and was somewhat ashamed to be working as a sanitation worker, I was reminded by some of the older guys that it was just 10 years earlier that Dr. King had given his life, inadvertently, representing sanitation workers in Memphis, Tennessee. in 1968. So I just kept that in mind, that here was 1978, 10 years later. And if it was good enough for, if sanitation workers were good enough for Dr. King to come and represent during their strike and their working conditions for better working conditions, and in fact lost his life there, the least I could do is have some pride and admiration for what we're doing. And I've been in ever since. So not only did I get myself through college, I also was able to put my sister through college, my brother through college, and also subsidize my brother's medical school, and he's a practice physician today. And I did all that through solid waste management.
Baridi is perhaps proudest of the fact that the Fort Smith Sanitary Landfill has not asked for a rate increase for 5 years.
And in fact, I will be approaching the board of directors next year, about mid-2013, to offer a rate decrease to our customers. That's right. The efficiency of automated collection is such that we are going to pass on savings to the citizens. So it's, I know it might sound crazy, but we're actually going to be offering a rate decrease of at least $1.10 per month.
Baridi Nokokele is the director of the Fort Smith Department of Sanitation. If you want to know more about the landfill, you can find a link on our webpage, OzarksAtLarge.com.